Welcome to A Writer in Italy, the podcast. I am your host, Michelle Johnston, and this is a little share in the world of travel, books, art, and lifestyle. I live in Australia, yet have long had an attraction to the Mediterranean countries for as long as I can remember. This inspiration has fueled my creative life and given me incredible joy over the years as an artist and a writer. And that is why I have created these shares on journeys that have been made, books that I have loved, and cooking adventures inspired by wonderful food writers. You can find all show notes at michellejohnston.life and follow me on Instagram at A Writer in Italy, where you can find all of the meanderings and indeed the lure of Italy as the ultimate muse. Thank you for joining me. I love having you here for the journey of Muse Italia. Welcome to this wonderful conversation with Claire Hearn from Sicily. Claire has a YouTube channel, Miss Brittily, on her life in southern Italy. 5 years ago, Claire made the decision to move from London in England to the south of Italy. First, she started her life on the Amalfi Coast. A few years later, she moved to Sicily. Find Claire on Instagram at Ms. Brittily and on YouTube at Ms. Brittily. And Claire is writing her second book, which we get to talk about today as well. Thank you, Claire, for sharing your story and journey on A Writer in Italy podcast. Can we start here and discuss this beautiful statement I read on your YouTube channel? Quote, "I decided I wanted to change my life and relocate to Italy. I didn't know anyone there, I didn't speak the language, and I had only visited the country twice before. Just 8 months after I made this decision, I packed up my suitcases and moved solo from London to Italy, embarking on my very first expat experience. On paper, it sounds completely bonkers, but in reality, it was the making of me." Can we discuss?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the reason I wrote that is because sometimes in life, I feel like when we make a big decision, we often spend a long time thinking about it and planning and often procrastinating. And I think my whole decision behind moving to Italy was very rapid. It was based on a feeling that I had, an inner connection. And I didn't spend a whole heap of time researching or building a life here in Italy before I made the leap. I literally just did it. And it does sound completely bonkers, because we're almost programmed in society to do our due diligence and to really pay attention to what we're doing. But sometimes I think you just have to follow your inner intuition, your gut instinct, however you want to call it. And it's been the making of me. It's been one of the best decisions that I've ever made.
Yeah, you're my kind of girl. You probably knew it was going to be big, but it's better to just do it, right?
Absolutely. And I see so many people stuck in procrastination, particularly in online expat groups where people go to seek advice, to try to understand what life is going to be like. But people get stuck in that phase of being in their heads and thinking about something, but not actually taking the action. And you're never going to have all of the answers, particularly when you decide to relocate to another country, because essentially your idea of what life is going to be like can vary dramatically when you actually arrive and start living that life. So you can prepare yourself to a certain degree, but you can never be 100% fully prepared, because life in another country is completely different to what you're used to. So I feel like at some point you have to take the action without knowing all of the answers.
Yeah, I agree. I like that idea, because you are not trying to control everything, and that leaves things to fall into place in their own way as well. I would probably do it the same way as you, because I trust my instincts and how I feel. Because I've followed that for long enough, I know it works. Did you have a sense that you knew it would work as well?
Yeah, I did. I didn't just, you know, pack my suitcase and arrive in Italy on a wing and a prayer. Like, I did realise that I'd have to financially support myself, that I would have to build a life here. So I think it's probably important to make that distinction between, like, just arriving somewhere and hoping that everything is going to work out. And then actually, you know, arriving somewhere, having prepared yourself a little bit before. Like, there is a distinction between the two. And, you know, I just put the work in. Like, I found myself a job before I arrived here, and I just knew that the rest would fall into place. I had a bit of a deadline in place because Brexit was looming, the original Brexit date, because it did end up getting extended. So I knew that it was now or never. So that was kind of a big prompt for me, because maybe it might have taken me a couple of months longer if I didn't have the pressure of Brexit. But because I knew it was that now or never moment, it kind of pushed me to take the action and just do it.
Yeah, I would do that too. So I was wondering, have you had any friends that have ever done this, or people that you know, or was it just like you'd read about other people or along the way?
Yeah, like my family are kind of dotted all around the world. So I have an uncle, aunt, and some cousins who live in Perth in Australia. I have another uncle and aunt who live in Spain. And I have some great aunts and uncles who live in America. So I guess I've seen members of my family do this and become expats themselves and make a success of their lives. And so I guess in the back of my mind, I had that. But other than that, there weren't any close friends or anybody else really who I knew who had done this. It was just those family members that I've already mentioned.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I really would love to know, why Italy?
Oh, it's a good question. And I feel like the answer is still revealing itself to me. And I'll explain why. Because when I came here for the very first time in 2017, it was on holiday. It was to a little town called Meta, which was near Sorrento, so near the Amalfi Coast. And I instantly felt this connection. Sometimes I feel like I don't describe it properly, but it was like this inner knowing that I was in a place that I could call home. And I know that holidays are very different experiences to what everyday life is like. And maybe at points I did have those rose-tinted glasses on where we see life in a particularly romantic way. But it went a bit deeper than that. It was just this instant connection. I felt comfortable. I started to have this crazy idea at the time that I could make Italy my new home. And so it was based on that. It was based on that initial feeling. And I do trust my feelings a lot. And I've learned to do this more over the years as I've got older, to really trust and listen to myself more, because I didn't always do that. And I used to see how life took me in different directions because I didn't listen to myself. But now I've really attuned myself to my own thoughts and feelings. And so it was that strong connection. And the reason I say the answer is still revealing itself is because even just a couple of years ago, when I was already living here in Italy, a necklace that I bought from Tiffany in New York on my 30th birthday, so this is like a few years before I visited Italy, on the back of the necklace, it says Tiffany & Co. made in Italy. So, and I've been wearing that for like 3 or 4 years before I actually moved here. And even now, it may transpire. I'm going to do like a test, I think, this year to understand. But quite possibly, my great-grandfather may have been Italian or of Italian descent. It's a mysterious part of my family. My dad doesn't know much about his grandfather. But essentially, my grandmother was given an Italian name. And there's always been a question as to whether or not there was a bit of, I don't know, Italian heritage in my family. So I always feel that you have a connection to a place for a reason. And so, yeah, this is why the answer is still unfolding, if you like.
Oh, it's a perfect answer, because I think it's, yeah, it really is. It's a perfect answer because you're evolving too, right? So It's something that will change and grow with you and your experience. And has it been 4 years or more? How long again?
5 years this year.
Yeah, and that tells you a lot. If it wasn't working, you already would have moved back toward home or made a different choice. Were you at a point, I mean, you don't have to tell me why by any means, but were you at a crossroads before you made that decision? Was there sort of like a big ending of sorts, or were you just kind of thinking, oh, what's next?
I was kind of at a point in my life where I wanted to make a change. At that point, I was a police officer back in London for 6 years, and I left the police to become an entrepreneur and to start my own business. And I had a successful catering business for 4 years. And I was at the point where I wanted to make a change in my life because I was literally working relentlessly. And I had been for 10 years up to that point, both through working in the police and the super long hours that you work and the lack of control you have over your own free time, through to running a business where you sometimes never stop working because there's always something that needs to be done. And I realized that I wanted to experience what it meant to live, because I kind of felt at that point that I was literally living to work. I wasn't living to experience joy, to experience what life really is meant to be. And so I was kind of at that point when I went on holiday to Italy, and that was the first big holiday I've taken since I started running my business. And I think that was in the back of my mind during that holiday, that I was ready to experience joy and to experience what life meant again.
Oh, I got shivers then. I got shivers. I was just like thinking, experience joy. You see, I have been wondering more and more since I have stayed on this path, and I haven't been to Italy all that much in the last few years, but I have been. At the same time, I'm in a funny spot because of family stuff. So I could certainly go. I could go next week if I wanted. But there's a reason I haven't yet made that leap. Whatever the case, and it's always there, obviously. But whatever the case, I've stayed on this path, interviewing women and men as well, but mostly women, and talking to people about Italy. And I'm kind of getting more and more curious about what it is underneath the surface of the place. And the fact that you said that you were ready for joy and that brought that feeling to you and obviously made you feel excited as well, it just tells me so much. So now, obviously it is different when you live somewhere and the realities all kick in and you've still got to pay a bill and all that jazz. Has that joy...
Yes.
Has that joy stayed with you then, or have you had to go looking for it?
The joy is here. Sometimes it can get lost in the mundane realities of everyday life when you're dealing with bureaucracy, for example, which is always a challenge in Italy, especially. And when you're dealing with like quite a demanding work schedule, I think with this in mind, sometimes you have to remind yourself of that joy. But essentially, like this summer, for example, I have spent the majority of my summer on the beach, swimming in crystal clear water. Those are the simple pleasures that remind me of my joy and remind me why I live here. And it's not always easy. And I always try to balance. And I'm very careful, I would say, when I talk about life in Italy, especially in my YouTube channel, because it can be very easy to romanticize this country. But there is a feeling of joy that I carry with me every day. Sometimes I have to dig a little deeper to find it, but essentially it's always here because there is so much that I'm grateful for about the life that I've created here in Italy.
Yeah, you have created it, definitely. It's really, really beautiful. You started off in Salerno and now you're in Palermo. Why did you pick the south to start a life in?
I came back from that holiday in Meta, and I realised that I really liked the south of Italy, but I knew that I had to compare it with somewhere else. So when I went back to Italy for a second time, I went to Naples, which again is in the south, but a little bit further away from Amalfi Coast. And then I also spent a little bit of time in Rome as well, just to understand a more central part of Italy. But I always felt pulled back to the south. And essentially, when I went back to the UK, I discovered an amazing website, Workaware, if I remember it well. And I did a teaching exchange in Salerno. And that was how I discovered Salerno, because at that point, I didn't even know that that particular city existed. And I did some research and I saw that it was very close to like the Amalfi Coast. So I knew it was going to be in the same kind of part of Italy that I liked. And so I went to Salerno at the end of February 2018 for 4 weeks and stayed with an Italian family and taught their daughter English. And that was my first real experience of everyday life in South Italy. And I fell in love with Salerno. And for this reason, I decided to, that would be my first home in Italy.
That month must have been fascinating.
It was really fascinating because I got to see life through an everyday person's perspective and not just through the bubble that you're in when you're on holiday. So it was really fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. And the South, like, it's a bit more rustic and a bit wilder and, you know, like the architecture, it's such a different world in that area. So were you near the coast when you were in England or were you more inland?
So I was born in Dulwich, which is like southeast London, but I lived in Kent just before I moved to Italy. So I wasn't near the coast, but I enjoyed being by the coast. I'd often go to Brighton or those kinds of places to be by the sea. I did always have a bit of a dream that I'd like to live somewhere where I could hear the seagulls in the morning. And I never imagined that that dream would manifest, except I'd be in Italy listening to the seagulls and not in the UK. but yeah, I think I've always felt a connection to being near the sea, but I just never imagined it would end up being in another country.
The sea is kind of like one of those things that people feel attracted to, like that lifestyle and everything. So what made you change locations then? So you stayed in Salerno for a few years and now you're in Sicily. So what made that decision happen?
Well, I've been in Salerno for 4 years and I love Salerno. It will forever hold a really special place in my heart. And for me, honestly, I think it's the perfect city to begin your expat journey in because it's not too big, it's pretty well organized, and it's just really a beautiful location. But for me, I felt like I was ready for a change. And I know myself, like when I'm ready for a change, I have to make that change. I can't stay somewhere just because I feel comfortable. And this is the thing I recognize when I'm in my comfort zone and when I'm actually living out of my comfort zone. And I was very much in my comfort zone in Salerno. I had friends, I had work, I knew my way around, but life was feeling a bit stale. And Salerno is beautiful, but it essentially is a small city. Often evening, the nightlife is pretty repetitive. A lot of people leave Salerno and go to Naples or to neighboring cities to do something different, often evening. I was ready to have a new experience. It was that led me to want to move to Palermo. I already had connections with Palermo. My boyfriend is from Palermo. So there was already a connection to that city. I'd been there pretty much every year, every Christmas and summer. So I kind of knew what life was like in Palermo to a certain degree before moving here. But essentially, it was just the fact that I knew that I wanted to, I don't know, have new experiences, fresh experiences. I'd kind of seen all I could see in Salerno. So yeah, it was that prompted me to want to move.
It's good to have a little bit of an adventure and try a new region and everything. So what do you love about it? What do you enjoy about being there?
I love the vitality. It's a completely crazy, chaotic city, but there is life and energy here. And that was something that I feel that I was lacking back in Salerno. And, you know, it's such a beautiful place. There's so much I love about it. Like, I love the architecture. I love the beaches. I love the food and the weather. But, of course, it's not a perfect city. And there are many aspects that are quite stressful. It can be quite dirty. The public transport is a little bit nuts. But essentially, I love the energy. There's a vibrancy here and there's a feeling that you can never get bored. And that's what I need. I need that stimulation where I live.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, you like to be in the middle of it all happening.
Yeah, I do. I like to feel that, you know, if I want to go out one evening, I'll find something to do. I like to be in a place where there's lots of cultural events, where there's lots to see, and where I can feel like a tourist in my own city, which is very much how I sometimes spend my weekends, just roaming around like a tourist. But I love it because then I'm like, oh, this is my home. I can go home now. I don't have to step on a plane. And it's wonderful. And that's what I really enjoy. I enjoy being somewhere where there's lots of stimulation, where there's lots of activities. And, you know, you can leave the centre of Palermo and you can venture into neighbouring towns. Sicily is really big and I've yet to explore all of it, to be honest. I've only really been in a couple of different parts of Sicily. So there's just lots to do here and I like that energy. And I think this is what I'm really enjoying at the moment about living in Palermo.
It sounds great. I think Sicily would be a fascinating region to really get to know well. It's just got so many layers to it. I'm a bit envious, but it's all good. Has it been okay for you to find work then?
Yes, I guess because I knew that the only work I could find here in Sicily would have to involve me speaking English because I did not know Italian when I arrived here. And so I decided to go down the teaching route, which I know a lot of expats do when they first arrive in Italy, purely because it's something that's in demand and there is always a requirement for English teachers here. And so I did that when I lived in Salerno and I continue to do that now here in Palermo as well. And I enjoy it. I enjoy teaching English because not only because I feel like I'm doing something of value and it feels very rewarding, but also the people that I meet. And I feel like you have a great responsibility as a teacher to instill like confidence in your student and to open their eyes to the world and to kind of show them the possibilities that there are waiting for them. Because one thing I would say about life here, especially in Sicily, it can be quite closed. Sometimes people do have quite limited views of the world and of opportunities in general. And I feel like through teaching, you can open somebody's eyes and you can make them realise that there is a world out there that they can explore. They have the possibility to do whatever they want to do and they don't have to let their current reality limit their dreams. So, yeah, I do enjoy teaching. It's very rewarding on many different levels.
Yeah, indeed. And so are you at a school or is this like an after-school situation, like extracurricular English lessons?
No. I work at a school and I've always worked at schools here in Italy predominantly because I need to have a contract and it's just easier this way because just for bureaucratic reasons, it's a lot easier if you are working with a contract to kind of prove your income and everything else here in Italy. So I've always worked at a school pretty much for this reason.
Oh, that's good to know. That's a fascinating little tip for anybody who's contemplating such a change of lifestyle. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your book and the writing journey. Were you always imagining that you'd set out and write a book?
I kind of knew maybe there was a writing streak within me. I remember when I was a teenager, one of my mum's friends could read the palm, like the lines on your palm, and they said to me that I had the writer's fork. So I kind of knew I liked to write creatively when I was at school. I used to do very well in English for this reason, and so I kind of knew that there was maybe a book in me, but of course it didn't actually manifest until I came here to Italy, probably another reason why I'm here. So I guess I always knew that I wanted to write, but I just didn't know when it would happen. It was a very organic process, I would say.
So what's Wake Up to Your Worth all about?
So Wake Up to Your Worth is actually a series of life-changing lessons that I learned from the breakdown that I actually had here in Italy in December of 2019. through to my breakthrough that occurred the following year. And it was actually, for me, a really therapeutic form of writing, because I literally documented where I was at my lowest point all the way through to how I changed my life as a result. So it was a really, really therapeutic form of writing for me to do. And yeah, it's funny because I wrote that book and I was really proud of what I'd done. And I actually wrote it during the lockdown period that we had during the pandemic. So I had lots of time to do it. I published it, I self-published it through Kindle. And then I kind of didn't really promote it. I went a bit shy on my own writing. And I think it was because I've been so vulnerable in that book. And I kind of felt a bit uncomfortable about what I'd written about. And then in a turn of events, Christmas 2021, if I remember well, I posted a picture on my Instagram of me alongside some street art here in Palermo. And the person behind that street art was actually already a follower on my Instagram account. And he was behind this amazing initiative here in Palermo called APA Museum, which aims to showcase artists, writers, poets, and turn the outside streets into an open-air art gallery or museum. And it's a fantastic initiative. The historical centre is full of different artworks and writing extracts and poetry. And they saw that I'd written a book. And they were like, would you like to be part of an exhibition that we're hosting next year? So this was like going to be in July of 2022. And I was like, oh my goodness, yes, I'd love to. Anyway, I stood here in one of the museums that they have here in the center of Palermo in July 2022. And I presented my work to a packed auditorium. And there was a translator there in Italian and lots of other artists who were involved in the project. And now extracts from my book are a permanent street art fixture in the heart of the historical center of Palermo in both English and Italian. And so I went from that stage of writing that book from a really vulnerable place and feeling quite shy about my work afterwards to now having it on the streets for everybody to see. So yeah, it's been a journey. Everything has been a journey. Writing that book was a journey, and what's followed afterwards has been a journey. So yeah, that's what it's about.
That is an incredible story. It is such a journey, isn't it, the independent publishing route, for lots and lots of reasons, because you've got to keep pulling yourself up and going forward. It's like you haven't got anybody there tapping you on the shoulder going, oh, you've got this deadline, or I'm expecting it then. And also the knowledge that someone else is looking out for you around it. You've just got to keep pulling up your own socks and going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, or whatever. But it's not just the end of the journey. It's not just the end of the journey when you get that book in print, or if you get it onto Kindle. That's the beginning of the journey. And then you have to fight the other demons of the inner critic, or it's really tough, isn't it? It's full on.
I see so many correlations between life in Italy and self-publishing the book. Like, you arrive in Italy and you think you have, you know, finished your journey, but actually no, your journey's just begun. And you have to fight those inner critics and the feelings of self-doubt when you're living here in the same way that you do when you self-publish a book. It's very, very similar. But I think self-publishing is often knocked a little bit. People look down on it. They don't think it's the same as having a proper publisher or an editor. But I actually think it gives you the possibility to publish work and put it into the public domain. Like, it's the same with anything. You have to take action. And I know so many people who have self-published books and have later on been signed by editors and publishing houses because people have come to recognize their work. And I think it's the same with anything. We can wait for the glory. We can wait for the big publishing house to accept our work or find us or discover us. But really, the only way that you truly achieve what you want in life is by taking action. And if that means that you self-publish a book at the beginning to get yourself noticed, to start to have people become aware of your work, then I think it's a fantastic step. And I think more people should take advantage of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's a great step too. I think it's a really fascinating experience, actually, like on so many levels. And you get to actually publish what you really want to publish and then go from there. And if you do get picked up, then you do. But you can also make a lot of sales on the side doing your own thing. And I guess we're fortunate these days, aren't we? Like in the sense of having these communities on social media and having your following and even like having a podcast where you get to share these stories and let people know about the work that you've produced or created. And yeah, well, congratulations on your book. Well done.
Thank you. I'm actually writing a second book at the moment, but this time my second book is not as personal. It's not so much about me and my own journey, but it's about life in South Italy. It's about my experiences, my view on life in South Italy. But yeah, so I'm very inspired to continue with my writing. And I think what happened with me having that moment of self-doubt after I initially published Wake Up to Your Worth has almost propelled me to not give up on myself and to continue to write and to not be shy about what I've written about, because so many people have come forward and said that book has helped them. And it's helped them because they've been in moments of difficulty, and to know that somebody else has managed to pick themselves up from that period has really helped them. And so in turn, I know that my writing is beneficial. And so it's something that I must continue to do, and I enjoy it. So yes.
You must. Absolutely. I think there's a real ripple effect. You don't realize that creativity is so powerful until you're in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely get the vulnerability of writing your story. Well, I am getting a mm-hmm. feeling that you're still going to have to put a bit of you in there. People are going to want to know. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't shy away from it, is what I'm saying. Because I think there'll be something that people want to hear the roller coaster ride as well, like of all of it. But that's really exciting. Have you got a title?
Definitely.
Have you got a title for your book, or is it still germinating?
No. I have a title. I have a cover. I'm just putting the finishing touches to it. So I've called it A Word, which is a little bit, I don't know, it's a very multifaceted word, Minchia, which essentially is an Italian word which has many different meanings. People use it to express joy. Oh, Minchia, you got the job. That's amazing. Or people use it to express disgust. Minchia, I can't believe he did that to you. And it also relates to a part of the male anatomy. So it's a very complicated word. But for me, it was the perfect word that sums up life in South Italy. Because life in South Italy is extremely multifaceted. There are so many layers to life here. Different cities vary wildly, even in the same region. And it was the perfect word that I could think of that sums up my 5 years of experience living here so far. So, yeah, that is the title of my book.
And is there a subtitle?
Yeah, I basically said The Complexities of Life in South Italy.
Perfect. Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, words are very powerful. It sounds very masculine, like there's a masculine element mm-hmm. to that. I mean, obviously you mentioned male anatomy?
Yes. This is what the word also relates to. But I chose this word just because whenever you use this word in Italy, and obviously I don't recommend that you go around saying this to everybody, but if you're with friends or people you know, it always evokes a smile on people's faces because it's one of those words that just means so many different things. And so that was why I chose it, because I kind of feel as well, like sometimes we try to be very conservative, especially as writers. We understand the power of words. We understand the influence it can have on people. But sometimes we're so worried about putting out this perfect, pristine piece of work that we're not real sometimes. And I've chosen a word that, you know, for some people, it's like, oh my goodness, why would you choose this word? And then for other people, it makes them smile. And I think that's nice sometimes, because the word for me, it captures what the essence of the book is about. And that's important. And when you read the book, you understand why that word has been used. Because life here is very up and down, topsy-turvy. One day is never the same as the next. And so, yeah, that's why I chose to use this word instead of like a beautiful expression or another word. I wanted something that was real, raw and gritty, and that essentially summed up my experiences here.
So the word is a metaphor.
Yeah, in a way.
I love it. I like that you're being really like honest about it, because people want a true story. I mean, I do.
And I think as well, like So I have a YouTube channel as well. And I think one thing that comes up frequently in the comments on my channel is that people appreciate the honesty I give about life here. Because I think, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on what way you look at it, Italy is so heavily romanticized in books and films. And, you know, we arrive here with this perfect expectation of what life is like. And as much as you can experience those wonderful elements, depending on where you go in Italy, you can also experience the rough and raw parts of the country as well. Like, it's a completely imperfect country, much the same as any other place around the world. But we just put such a high expectation on it that we're almost disappointed if we don't see romantic images and hear about perfect lives in Italy. But I kind of thought it's important to be real, especially if people want to move here, because you need to move here with a realistic expectation. I really feel that a lot of people who have bad experiences here or regret moving here, moved here with a completely different set of ideals or expectations. They were not prepared in that sense. And so that's why I think it's so important to be real about life here and to be real about the experiences here.
Oh, well, you're doing them a community service, I think.
In a way, yes.
Ah, that's cool. So do you have a timeline for your book, out of curiosity?
Well, I'm hoping to release it this year. So I'm kind of working through it now. I'm kind of, sometimes I try things and they work and sometimes they don't. So initially I started a Substack page for my writing, and I initially thought about releasing my book chapter by chapter for paid members on the Substack page. But essentially, I was like, well, Claire, realistically, that means your book is not going to be published in its entirety until like late 2024. So I was like, I don't know if I want to really do that because I'm just delaying what I'm ready to produce. So essentially, I want to finish it by the end of this year. I think it will be an amazing goal for me to wrap up 2023 with another book published and kind of really go all in on it at the beginning of 2024 in terms of promoting it and talking about it. And what I'm doing differently this time, which I didn't do with my first book, is that I'm also translating it into Italian. So I'm having both the Italian version and the English version of my book.
That's great.
Because what I've come to understand is that for me to, yeah, because I realise there are people here that want to read my original book, but because I don't yet have it in Italian, their level of English isn't such that they can read what I've written. So I kind of learned from that and have decided to do both simultaneously for my second book.
That's interesting. And you know what? I was just seeing like your Italian people that buy the book picking it up going, let's know more about this, because they will understand what the word means. I was
And also like they'll understand what life is like. And I think as well, Italians are very curious people. And I think sometimes they're interested to hear what outsiders have to say about their country or people's opinions of their country or experiences. Because sometimes it's the same with anything. Like I'm always really curious to see what other people have to say about life in London. And I often follow like expats who live in London on my Instagram because I'm always really curious about their, you know, their views, their experiences, because often we don't see for ourselves or have the same experiences when it's our own country. So, yeah, I think there'll be an element of curiosity behind any Italians who choose to read my book, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think that it's a really wise choice. So are you going via Kindle again or what's your plan?
I am going via Kindle again, initially, although I kind of feel this book has legs. I kind of feel maybe more so than my first book, which was more like of like a personal therapy for myself, I guess. This book has legs. I feel like there is a lot more possibility with this book, and maybe somewhere down the line, I can see if I can get it officially published, if you like. But certainly at the beginning, through Kindle again, yes, because I have had a good experience with them. And I'm happy to continue with them for the second book.
Yeah, that's great. That's really good news for people and people like me too, because I'm on a similar journey as well. So what's the name of your YouTube channel?
Ms. Brittany, which is the name of all my socials. And I chose it because it's Britain and Italy together.
Yeah.
Which is how I feel a lot of the time. So yeah, Ms. Brittany is the name.
You've melded both parts. They're like...
Yes.
Together, absolutely. I really look forward to seeing your book, and if you want someone to do any reading for you, I'm always here, and I'd love to share that, you know, on the website and everything one day. It'd be great.
Yeah, That'd be amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me. It's been such a joy to talk to you.
Yes, and thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.